On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Looking for some company? New messaging capabilities are hitting LinkedIn.
A new test may have you start seeing some different results on Google.
Google's got us all tops ad turvy with its new search ad metrics definitions.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Nicole Waddington.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on March 29th, 2024.
And before we get into all of the digital marketing news of the week, anything happening with you guys? What's going on in your life?
I am starting to hit the phase where my son, A, is playing games on an iPad. So he's like a full-blown child now, but he's like being real creative and stupid. And I remember you sharing things in the past and like your kids make up dumb names for things. So Jack's been playing this like hockey game, right? Where you could play with other people, I guess, or AI, whatever. He's been naming his teams. He came up with White Tigers because they were white jerseys. I thought that was fine, whatever. And then a couple other ones he had. Mountain Everesters.
That's a good name.
I thought that was pretty good. And then Changer Bankers, which...
Changer Bankers.
I just feel like people like making change. But I thought Mountain Everesters was pretty good.
Mountain Everesters is great.
Yeah. So I'm going to be trying out for that team.
You know what? He might actually have a future.
As
head of naming.
Oh,
at Google Ads. Let's get into the news. No. What do we have up here first?
Don't curse him.
So this just dropped right before we're recording. I got an email. I don't know about everybody else. But changes are coming to search ad metric definitions. And I'll read verbatim what the email said. As ad placement continues to evolve on search, we remain dedicated to connecting you with users interested in your products and services. We're updating our definitions related to top ads. Top ads can appear above organic results and can also appear below organic results for certain queries. Specifically, we're updating the following definitions in our help center. Top ads, absolute top ads, prominence, about top and absolute top metrics, use segments in your table, about target, impression, share bidding, and get your ads show among top ads. And then they have links to all of these different help articles in Google defining what these new metric definitions are. Greg, very own Greg Finn, posted on X. He clicked on prominence, and prominence is an estimation of your ad's visibility on the search results page. Things that affect prominence. Ad position, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Ad formats, what's an ad format? Ads with ad formats have more prominence than ads without ad formats, because formats generally draw more attention to an ad and increase clicks on an ad.
What?
There is a lot to unpack with this renaming of everything. Mm-hmm. This is so annoying when people say it, but I've been running paid campaigns on like Overture before Google Ads came out. I had no idea you could run an ad without an ad format.
It's just a type
what
of ad.
What would that be?
I mean, reading this, I feel like it's the new word for assets replacing extensions. That's how I'm interpreting it.
So you would think that, mm-hmm. right? But yeah. that is absolutely not the case.
What is?
Right? So I went on a deep dive and I'm like, yeah. Am I just like terrible at what I do? Is that like a thing?
No, you're pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
So I went to the help documentation, and there are ad formats that are available in a Google Ads account. Okay? And so some of those ad formats, I'll throw it right up here. Text ad formats, responsive ad formats, image ad formats, app promotion ads, ad formats, video ad formats, shopping ads, ad formats, and call only ads, ad formats. So if you're text, if you're responsive, if you're image, app, all those different things. Mm-hmm.
Those aren't in the search results pages, like two of them.
Well, those are all ad formats.
I know. But so they're talking about formats impacting prominence in the search results pages.
Many of these are. Like you could have text, okay, responsive, app promo, shopping ads, call only ads. Those are on the SERPs.
But what kind of ad could you have that's not one of these?
So that's what I said.
That would be less prominent. So
I have an answer. According to the current Google Help documentation, PMax is not an ad format. Mm. I don't think this is the case, just put on record. But I'm like, what ad wouldn't have an ad format? PMax doesn't have an ad format because it's PMax. It's a shapeshifter, but then does it turn into a responsive ad? And I just am so lost at one part of the prominence being your position and the other part being if you have an ad format. Because anybody that was trying to like, that, I feel like I know how Google works and they just have the worst PR team and naming team, which is why we're bringing Jack on board. They have to put PMax as the highest possible ad format, you would think. But even though it's not listed in the help documentation as an ad format, how could anybody that is new to this read this and be like, oh, that makes sense. The prominence is about your ad position where you have top ads and then absolute top ads, which doesn't even make sense because if your absolute top ad should be singular, shouldn't be plural. So I don't know. I went, started making threat. I asked Ginny. I think this is just nonsense. It's just not, I know it's going to be some form of nonsense to make you spend more money. I'm come to that conclusion that it's your prominence metric. This is what they launched prominence metrics with, is that your ads need an ad format. And if you have an ad format, it's going to do better. You have higher prominence.
It's going to do better than PMax?
I didn't know you couldn't make an ad format till today. I did not know that. I didn't know that. And then even going in through any of that documentation, like the top ads thing, like I get that. Sometimes it's alongside organic. Sometimes it's still the top one shown, but it's below organic. And then the about, top, and absolute top metrics, the formulas are, there's just so much. And then they're like, oh, top and absolute top metrics are a set of prominence metrics. And now I'm like, they're prominence metrics. Great. So this has to do with ad formats and then all these different search impression share of your top. It's the thing I'm going to take away from this is now it's called top ads. If you're in that grouping that's showing near the top, an absolute top ads if you are position number one top ad is my takeaway from this right now. But Ginny should clarify this. We should have more next week. But man, that really put my mind in a pretzel with that prominent stuff. All right. And next up from search engine land, Google is starting to test AI overviews from SGE in the main Google search interface. And allegedly, some users who have not opted into the Google Search Labs feature of the Search Generative Experience, or SGE, may see AI overview answers in the search results. So to me, it leads us to say this rollout is probably getting closer. If you recall last year, it was supposed to be in 2024 at the beginning. And it is now rolling out more. So you no longer have to opt in, at least for some of the users in this test. And I still don't know about SGE. I'm trying to figure out, when do the ads show? Sometimes SGE shows above the ads. If there's four ads that are displayed, SGE usually shows under the four ads. But if there's like two ads, SGE shows over it. And then it shows under many times PLAs, but pulls in products that don't match the SGE results. I still think there's a ways to go. I would assume this wouldn't be before July because it's still such a hack show, but who knows? And then Lily Ray over on X had said, oh good, SGE will even recommend the spam sites as part of the answer. And she had put in a query for Pitbull Puppy for Sale Craigslist and has a few examples. And again, her search was for Craigslist with the brand in the name. And the top site that was given to her was Concer Online.
Concer.
TGRMud.online. Osomi Nogotrue.online and Nogotrue.online, all spam sites. Not one Craigslist. We've talked about this from like day one when it launched, and you couldn't find like the Nike site by performing a search with Nike. I still think the branded aspect of this needs some work. Like, how much clear can you be to say Craigslist? And you can't get one answer for Craigslist in here?
Mm-mm.
So we'll see how this plays out, but I still think it's a ways away. I don't know.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from Gil Gildner at Gil Gildner on X, which has now redirected back to Twitter.com. They redirected Twitter.com to X. If you go to X.com right now, it goes back to Twitter. So I don't know what you're supposed to call this stupid thing. Can that be the take of the week?
Yeah, can we just call it Twitter now? Twitter? It does, yeah.
Okay, we're calling it Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter.
Can you imagine buying that thing, redirecting it to a whole new domain just to redirect it back? Unbelievable. Anyway, Gil says on Twitter.com, say that a hypothetical client is dead set on making major account change. You advise against, offer reasons, and alternative long-term strategy. Say that hypothetical client goes ahead anyway and performance crashes. We're talking Dante's Inferno crash. What would you do? So you got a Dante's Inferno crash that you advise them not to do. And I just thought some of the takes were interesting because this does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, we'll really advise against this because you care about them.
Right.
But sometimes people are too dumb to understand the ramifications of things.
Or just dead set.
Or dead set. Or, yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm this is all hypothetical about Gil's hypothetical person that he's hypothetically talking about.
Yeah. I also thought he was saying a hypothetical client is dead and then that the hyphen was to start a new sentence. So I'm glad that that didn't play out the way I thought.
Okay. So Sophie Logan at Marketing Soph on Twitter says, I'd say a recovery plan if you like to keep them. If not, then maybe it's time to part ways. Whenever a client wanted to do a change I advise against, I always got them to write it down and sign it off so that I could refer back to my objections later down the line. Power listener in the show right there with some amazing advice. Don't just do it. Mm-hmm. Say that you're advising against it and get it in writing. Love that.
Yeah. Email's a beautiful tool for that.
All right. Ashwin at The Copy Trail on Twitter from Optimizer says, if it's not the first instance of the client ignoring me and heck hitting the fan, I'd just fire them. If this is the first or maybe even second offense, I'd follow the advice other people have shared. And most people say to fire that client. From Sean Ellie at SLE2134 on Twitter. Sean says, this happened to me twice in the past 5 years. Each time, we were fired.
Ouch.
Well, maybe that's for the best if they aren't listening to people that they hired anyway. And then from Nicole at Nicole in a Box, not Waddington. This is Boxington here. She says, if it's indicative of a pattern, I would end the relationship. It's difficult to constantly battle clients and gain trust in that sort of relationship. If it's not a pattern, I'll put together a strategy for rebuilding and getting things back on track. A 30, 60, 90-day plan. A bunch of other people are in there just being like, fire them, get rid of them, dump them. And it's hard. Like, sometimes people do make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one of the recurring things is like, if this is a pattern.
Yeah.
If this is a pattern, it's probably not going to be the best fit. But sometimes people do make bad decisions and make mistakes. And then if you're an agency owner, you have to think about like staffing too. Like you need to have the right amount of clients for the right amount of people and all that. And that's tough. And you don't just say, hey, you made a mistake. I'm going to.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out of here. And then I'm going to go, I don't know, like go have to hustle to find more people instantly. Like it's not that easy of a thing. But anyway, I thought there was some good commentary there. So thank you, Gil, for that thought. Experiment.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people, this is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
This week's ICYMI comes from Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on X, or Twitter as we're calling it now. He said, don't forget, Google Search Console Insights shows you average engagement time on your sites and page. And he has a screenshot of SEORoundtable.com and how you can see these metrics. And that's a nice chart. What do you think of that chart?
Sorry, Ginny just responded.
Breaking. Bum, bum, bum.
The chart's nice. It's pretty nice. I feel like you see some big weekend dips here. I'm a little confused as to why some Mondays are a little slower and then Fridays are slower, but I like it. There's a nice flow, a little bit of symmetry there.
Gradient's very pretty too. What did Ginny say?
Okay, we'll read this live because I said, please help us, Ginny, when I was talking about an ad format. So Ginny responded to me and said, to clarify, the prominence metrics aren't new. Did you guys know about prominence metrics?
No.
How long are you in a Google Ads account during the day, Nicole?
More than half.
Yeah. I'm in there about 5 hours. I've never seen the prominence metrics.
Never.
Okay. So she says, to clarify, the prominence metrics aren't new. Admittedly, the ad format concept is confusing.
Yep.
In this context, they refer to things like a phone number that may be included in your ad.
Assets.
What?
Assets.
Like a, yeah, I'm thinking
it's extensions.
Like a extension asset.
Extension asset. Okay. And then more here and links over to a diff. Okay. This is a different ad format help article.
There's two.
There's multiple.
There's probably three.
There's multiple. Great. Oh, also, Google Shopping ads are not considered ad formats.
Contradicts the other article you shared with us.
Yeah, I thought shopping was listed.
I had a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Shopping is an ad format in one help document. Mm-hmm. Google Shopping ads are not considered ad formats in another document here. Unbelievable. Okay, so I'll just read from the help documentation that I haven't seen this one before. The most common types of ad formats are ad assets. It's not a format.
By the way that it
read,
I knew that that's what it was. I knew it. It had to be.
Some examples of ad assets, and they're calling them assets now, not formats, include location assets, which attach your business address to your ads, and site links, which include additional links to other pieces of relevant content from additional pages within your site.
So they're calling assets within this description of ad formats. Ad formats, visual enhancements to search ads that more prominently display. Okay.
I disagree with this doc. An ad, you cannot say the ad format I'm going to choose is let's just run a site link. It's not a format of an ad.
No, but they're saying if you add old school verbiage, if you have extensions associated with your ads, you take up more real estate, you show more things, you are more prominent. That's what they were saying.
That's an asset addition.
I agree with you completely, but that it makes a lot more sense in the context of how they were talking about it.
This is a sentence from the help documentation. The most common types of ad formats are ad assets.
That's a
you
bad sentence.
You can't run something that is just a call out.
I see what you're saying.
That's not an ad. That's not a format of an ad. It's an addition to an ad. It's an ad. Addition. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you need assets. That's what the prominence means. Ad formats don't meet a format of an ad. It means the additional enhancement that you can get to your ad via assets to any type of ad format because that all is fine unless it's shopping. If it's shopping, that is not an ad for me. Who knows what the hell's going on?
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in paid this week, Nicola Agius on Search Engine Land reported on GA4 replacing conversions with key events for behavioral analytics So that's going to align the definition with Google Ad Platform. And conversions in the Report and Explore modules will be transitioned to Key Events, maintaining the same measurement capabilities as the legacy conversion concept. But Key Events will be considered conversions only when shared with Google Ads. Little confusing there.
We need to get your son ASAP.
revamp all these names.
I'll share this with him later, see what we can come back
with. See what he comes up with for next week.
Right. And then in the same article, it was also shared the advertising workspace in GA4 will introduce new cross-channel conversion platform reporting that extends beyond Google Ads and it will serve as your central hub for monitoring ads conversion performance. But I thought we were calling them Key Events.
Sometimes I feel like I just don't understand what I'm reading and I think it's a me problem, but I don't think it is. Right?
I read all these things and I'm like, I do this for a living. I feel so bad for SMBs. I know how to figure that one out. Mm-hmm. Like that makes sense. They're Key Events. Key Events.
Okay. Moving on.
Can we not move on for a second? Because I just read the next help article that Ginny linked over to me. And she said, ad formats are also part of what's considered an ad rank. And sent me a little link. Okay. And in this link, there's a bullet point that says the expected impact from your ad assets. And this is talking about how your ad rank scores are based on six factors. So one of the six factors is the expected impact from your ad assets and other ad formats.
It's doing the same thing.
What? Okay.
What asset is an ad format.
Yep.
But what else is the ad format?
What is the ad format?
Synonymous with ad assets, which is what we thought.
And it goes on to say, when you create your ad, you have the option to add additional information to your ad, such as a phone number or more links to specific pages on your site. These are called ad assets.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Google Ads estimates how assets and other ad formats you use will impact your ad's performance. That makes me think in this help documentation, it's like the first help documentation saying that ad formats are are responsive, shopping, image. This is, and I love Ginny. Ginny, I love you.
She didn't write this. It's not her fault.
She sent me this.
Yeah, she didn't write it.
Completely contradicts to the first thing that she sent me.
And I'm sorry, but we have more things that don't make sense that Google isn't sharing information that's clear about. So Anthony Hagman on Twitter said, first time I think seeing the new PPC ad format on desktop, still zero information on how these ads work, FYI. And he has a screenshot where he searched workers' comp attorneys. And I think we've covered this before, where the first sponsored thing that shows up is this bar of ads.
This looks horrible.
It's boxed, but it cuts off the headlines and you barely get, it looks like those are call outs maybe at the bottom, but
the formats.
Formats, yes.
No, it looks like something you would scroll through on mobile.
Yeah.
It looks like a carousel. This is desktop though. Mm-hmm.
It's too skinny.
All right. Well, let's move on from Google then.
I don't think I can.
LinkedIn, some better news here, finally has added dynamic UTMs for campaign tracking to their campaign setup. So these will be available to all users globally by the end of March, which simplifies adding custom tracking elements to campaign URLs and improves tracking accuracy. I am so excited about this. I feel like we've been waiting for this, I don't know, ever since I got into paid advertising, you would have to manually add every single unique UTM you needed to an ad, and they didn't make it easy to figure out what ads had what UTMs appended to them. And so this makes your job 10 times easier when you're making new campaigns and new ads. I've only seen it in one of my accounts, but hoping, you know, in a few days, I'll see them in all my accounts.
Did you rejoice when you saw it?
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All right. And more from Anthony Hagman.
Hagman.
On X or Twitter, he said, well, this is new. Now when you click an individual Google Business profile from the local business finder map, Google is showing the full list with ads instead of just that specific profile, LOL. It's for all business types. We just did these searches for multiple verticals. Seems to be consistent throughout.
It's hard reading that title case, isn't it?
It is. It so is. Hard. And it's hard to type too, I bet.
Not for him. It's
not for him. Yeah.
Faster?
Yeah,
faster.
Barry Schwartz is an incredibly fast talker, and Andrew Hickman is an incredibly fast title case typer.
Sorry, some more Google. Google released a dedicated guide for developers called Performance Max Developer Guide. That name makes sense.
Yeah, aptly this one
is perfectly named.
They did this one, and it was just all emojis. You know what? That might be more helpful.
It would, because we would at least understand how to feel.
Pig knife. Okay.
Microsoft confirmed its timeline for introduction of key automated features to Performance Max campaigns, such as page feeds for URL extension, conversion value rules, brand exclusion, search term insight report, and more in the next coming months. Or in the next couple of months. And it also provided a deprecation timeline for shopping campaigns starting in June and likely ending in September.
Smart shopping campaigns, right? Not just shopping.
Smart shopping, cool. Yes. Great correction. And also it clarified if you've imported a PMax campaign from Google Ads that originally came over as a smart shopping campaign or DSA campaign, Microsoft will upgrade it to PMax in a phased approach over the next few weeks. But if you are currently using a third-party platform that does not yet support PMax, they will continue to be imported as smart shopping or dynamic search ads.
If you said they're getting rid of shopping, I was about to get up and leave. I was about to get up and leave.
That's pig knife.
That's pig knife.
Getting rid of that.
Not frog mushroom. Pig knife. We have a look ahead at Google Marketing Live. An article from Vidya Srinivasan from Google. The Google Marketing Live date was announced for May 21st, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And she also, in her article, highlighted what was at the forefront of her mind. And none of these points surprise me coming from Google. So there's a focus on improving generative AI and generative AI's interaction with their Google Ads products, search generative experience, video, creative, and leveraging AI to collect and use data in a privacy-centric way.
Which she's talking about more integration. Mm-hmm. You and I were setting up a campaign Monday this week. Looking at some of the results we saw, and this is my hardly working this week. The AI that was created for these campaigns was insanely detrimental to any, it wasn't remotely close. It was horrific and just not needed. And isn't something that really is quite frankly close.
Yeah.
Like their implementation right now isn't close. It is makes things slow down. It makes things way more inefficient. Mm-hmm. And people don't want crap generated stock photos to sell a real product. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Also, this is from the person that brought us GA4, right? So, and then I thought one thing was really funny with the article. Again, this is announcing GML. She said, Google is reimagining what a search engine can do with generative AI, starting with search generative experience and search labs. People like the combination of AI-powered overviews with insights and perspectives from real people. And they're also using links and overviews to dig further. And she goes on to say, people are searching for things they never thought they could before, often longer, more complex, or specific queries where it may be helpful to quickly find perspectives and deeper insights. They literally got rid of perspectives last week.
RIP in peace. Yeah.
Did anybody Forums. Talk over there?
Forums.
She's literally saying, we're bringing in perspectives from real people the same week it goes away. Wild. All right, let's head on over to the organic section where things are fine, people. It's a embodiment of the dog in the fire drinking the coffee. Fire dog. Okay. A thread over on Reddit from total_pollution1750 says, Reddit now shows in Google News? Question mark. Google is a joke. Check comments for proof. I didn't think this was true. So I checked the comments for proof. And I'm sorry that I besmirched your name, total_pollution1750. The very good name that you've earned over on Reddit, that forum. There was a search he was doing for somebody named Memphis Depay, also simply known as Memphis, a Dutch footballer. And the first news article being pulled into Google News from his screenshot was from Reddit. And it looks like it was in the MFCBQTR subreddit. And it says it was Memphis Depay who made a payment, blah, blah, blah. Absolutely. In this example, if it wasn't doctored, this is a Google News listing here. So,
wow.
Fantastic. You get Reddit all over the SERPs. Every forum listing I've seen has Reddit in it. And now it's in Google News.
This is how we're getting those perspectives.
Do you think that they made like a play to get in early on the Reddit IPO? And they're just like, we can't make money anymore. Let's just buy Reddit and let's just push everybody to Reddit.
There's definitely some to it.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I couldn't replicate it. And then at Mike Futia on Twitter has a post saying Google is now ranking Reddit number 3 for best VPNs, which to no one's surprise has been completely and impressively overrun by cloaked affiliate link spam that Google can't detect or doesn't care to. The example he gave wasn't exactly cloaking. It was kind of deceptive anchor text where it looked like it was an affiliate link. There was actually a go.subdomain on there. But now Google is pushing Reddit so hard, not only in the news, not only in the forums, but in the SERPs still with affiliate links. Okay, and from the YouTube creators, there are 4 new things coming to YouTube. First up, there's a new way to see how different types of viewers interact with videos. They can see about returning viewers as well as subscribers, non-subscribers, and how they all engage with their content. Second, there's some updated analytics tools, adding more features in the first month of the year. And there's a new audience retention report as a part of this update. Additionally, you can now customize your For You shelf. So you can let creators can just choose what videos they want to display, take some down, whatever you want to show up in there for you. And then the upload process is going to be easier for monetization. There are a whole series of checks. Those checks are all going to like happen at once now. So you can just upload and make sure everything is good before you publish. Okay, and from YouTube, over on searchengineland.com, Nicola Agus has guidance on when YouTube thinks you should post content for maximum reach. And this was YouTube product lead Todd Bupri. And Todd had said that for live videos, to maximize reach with live videos, YouTube advises going live when your analytics chart indicates that most of your audience will be available to watch. Duh.
Right?
Right? Like, okay. And then from the wonderful YouTube liaison, Renee Ritchie, who is a wealth of help over on X. He has some information about off-hour posting. So he said, if you post during off hours, like the early morning, the initial boost in views might be slower. And that they usually even out.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
There you go. Check it out. Okay. Also, YouTube is warning creators not to delete videos.
Because if you do, they'll be gone.
My news this week is like the dumb. It's like for, it's. This, my news is made for like somebody living in Idiocracy, the movie. Oh. It's like dumbest news. Anyway, is it don't delete videos unless you have a very, very good reason. If you delete a video, you delete your channel's connection to the audience that watched that video. But obviously, like, you don't want to leave video up that is now changed and is like misinforming people of something. So they said, if you want to maximize your growth, keep your videos public or unlist them if you must. All right, OpenAI also had put through a trademark application signaling its intent to develop digital voice assistants in a voice engine. We definitely need that because Siri is the worst.
I can hear you.
What does Pixel phones have now? Is it Gemini now? Because they completely gave up on Google Assistant.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have one of those.
And Bing Deep Search, an optional generative AI feature meant to help searchers with complex questions, is fully live for all users. I did a whole bunch of searches on Bing trying to get some images we could put up on screen. I can't tell the difference. One of them has like little check boxes if you do deep search, and you can like kind of like skew it one way or another. Bing says that we're the best digital marketing news podcast in regular search, but deep search, it must be smarter because it yanked us right out, yeeted us right off the list. But you can deep search. It's just a button at the top. From our show last week, Glenn Gabe responded to me about the latest episode. I had talked about the fact that I thought that SGE answers were unique answers, that they were created when you performed the query, but that they weren't like the SERPs where you typically have a set of answers that aren't like recalibrated every time that you type something in. It's not like it doesn't change. I thought AI is like done on demand. Mm-hmm. And he said, I just want to reply based on the latest episode of Mark and Clack. SGE results aren't personalized from what I'm seeing across my accounts. So it's possible to track those AI replies, in my opinion, like SEMrush is trying to do. That can always change, but just what I've seen for now. Example is two different accounts below, the same exact answer and the same exact citations, and those citations also seem not personalized. Now, I did the same thing with one account and another account for me, just two totally different accounts to make sure that I could be as scientifically accurate as possible. And I typed in the best running sneakers 2024, and I got... For one answer, when choosing running sneakers, you can consider things like cushioning, stability, and breathability. Here are some of the best running sneakers for 2024. And it's got a list of some shopping results and then seven best shoes for plantar fasciitis, a whole bunch of those, all from the same source in this one. When I performed it on my other account in my other browser, the answer was different. It said, according to Runner's World, the Brooks Ghost 15 is the best cushioned daily trainer. The Saucony Triumph 21 is the softest daily trainer. And the Hoka Mach 5 is the best lightweight daily trainer. And then had two different URLs there. And this was done within minutes of each other. So again, I don't think these are necessarily personalized, but they're different.
They're just different.
That's what I'm seeing. Maybe there's variations of being different. And then the other thing that's wild is like for that last one, they just said that the Brooks Ghost 15 is the best cushioned runner. The Triumph 21 is the softest. And the Hoka Mach 5 is the best lightweight. None of those are in any of those products they delivered you. Not one of those is in the products that SGE delivers. There's a Ghost Max, which is maybe close to a 15. There's no Saucony 21. And there's no Hoka Mach 5. So again, this is why I don't think SGE is like, well, this is just a confusing experience for somebody that isn't like a search nerd.
Yeah, but I just really, I'm like blown away by the names of these shoes. You want to talk about naming? That would be a fun job, naming shoes.
All right. And then finally, in what the heck are we doing news? Google has released new product sites along with products tab. And places sites along with a places tab. So this was spotted on X by Shaheem. I cannot say your last name. I'm sorry, Shaheem. I'll give it a shot though. Ed Karath. And Shaheem had shown that there are products and then product sites. And some of the product sites seem to be pulling in structured data, but not shopping data. And the product pages was pulling in shopping data from the feed. And I don't know why you would do the two different things. Isn't product sites just supposed to be all? Isn't that what you're doing when you type
that
for dress?
That would be what I would expect, yeah.
You kind of have to see this example because I don't understand it. And then this next one, I kind of understand it, but there is no worse name in the world than this. There's now going to be places and then places sites in the tab. And so when you look for something like places, that will get you to the local listings and local information. And when you type something like places sites, for this example shown, it sends you to Facebook group and then plumbers near you. with reviews-ish.
Facebook group wouldn't be the first.
I don't
like maybe somebody's places. Facebook page. They don't have a website. This doesn't make any sense.
I know. And then the name.
It's a mouthful.
You are like the second biggest company in the world. And you're like, you know, we'll just do places and places, sites. Places, sites. And the one that is an actual physical site, we'll call places. Like, it just makes no sense. I just hate it. Okay. And then my favorite news story this week. Barry Schwartz, incredibly fast talker, put out an article and said, SEOs, do not remove your contact us and about pages because Google doesn't have it in their search documentation. This is, again, we're in idiocracy at this point. And every SEO probably just walks around with a bib. Just spilling stuff all over the place. And then Glenn Gabe, the only sane person, and Lily Ray. Glenn Gabe says, in quote tweets, Barry's post and says, forget about, he goes full Higman on this as well. He goes, forget about Google's documentation and the QRG, Quality Rater Guidelines. Think of users arriving on your site. All caps. Is there any situation where they might want to learn about you or contact you? Then add an about page and contact page. End caps. It can be extremely frustrating for users when they don't find that information if they are looking for it.
It's so true. Is there any situation?
I just like, can't, yeah. I can't imagine somebody being like, what is the goal of your website? Oh, to get leads. Well, how do you want to get leads? We need to do SEO. Okay. How do we SEO? Well, let's look at the search documentation help. Oh, they don't say anything about us or contact page. So let's get rid of that. Okay. How do you get leads? How do you get leads then?
You contact. Wait.
No.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Shoot.
That's it in organic. What's happening in social butter?
I don't know if I can beat any of that. But first up, LinkedIn is rolling out messaging capabilities to all pages this week. It's something they started last summer for some pages. Now it's going wide. So it's pretty big for brands and companies that want to actively engage with users. I am sure that there are those out there that don't want that. So you can disable this feature. It's in your inbox settings. So FYI. But if it's enabled, admins can see the messages that are sent to their page as well as personal messages. You have like a divided inbox, basically, and you can assign conversation topics to messages for easy management. So that's nice if you want to like call out job inquiries, things like that. Send them to somebody else to look at. That's pretty cool. I love that. With this announcement, LinkedIn also said that they're going to be integrating with some social management tools. So if you like to manage your presence outside of the platforms individually, you'll be able to do that. For now, the integrations include Bird CRM, Brandwatch, Hootsuite, Octopus, Sprinklr, and Zoho, but there could be more to come. Love to see it. Speaking of lead gen, get a contact page for your site. And then if you are considering TikTok, they have a new guide on best practices for lead generation with the platform. It's a 25-page document. They release it in partnership with HubSpot. So if you don't trust TikTok, maybe you trust the hubs. They have actionable tips in there for using or creating good lead gen forms, hooks, messaging, and calls to action. You do have to share some information about yourself and your company, but it's a free download. With best practices for credible messaging, things like that. So check that out for sure. That could be really helpful. We have a post on Twitter.com from Elon Musk. He said, later this week, Grok will be enabled for all premium subscribers, not just Premium Plus. So get excited there. I guess it's not available in some territories, though, regardless of subscription level. So if you don't see it, then that might be why. Or woe, as Jason Kint put it. He tweeted on X, it's Jason_Kint. Whoa, Facebook had a secret Project Ghostbusters. Get it? I didn't for a minute. I had to think about it. Which allegedly was to decrypt man-in-the-middle style Snapchat traffic to copy it. And then he shared some documents that you can read at your leisure if you want. But a nugget from here says that, I'm paraphrasing, but Mark Zuckerberg sent an email to high-level executives, including a new COO, saying that there was a research task force looking to, quote, find a technical solution to obtain and analyze Snapchat's encrypted analytics traffic for Meta's competitive gain. There's a lot of sketchy stuff in this thread. Legal nerds can read more. There was another dirty dealing. I just wanted to call out. It looks like there's a lawsuit alleging that Netflix was one of the companies Facebook actually backed off on competing in exchange for data for their advertising.
I got to watch smarter shows. I think Big Timber and Love is Blind is getting me some bad
ads. Yeah. But it's amazing the things that people are doing. Everybody points at Google for being evil, but nobody's nice.
I'm just go to sleep and watch like history documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Try to get some smart ads my way. People are going to think I'm real smart.
Maybe. Or you'll just get some crazy running shoes based on your recent search history. All right, we're going to end on a thread about Instagram. This is from Adam Masseri about how he's still listening. He says, we're simplifying the hashtag and search experiences on Instagram to make it easier to see everything in one place. Now, when you tap on a hashtag, you'll see the search results for that hashtag. You'll be able to follow or unfollow specific hashtags. And then people are just commenting saying, all I want is for people to see the posts that I post. So he's not listening. Now it's time for this week's WTH.
Misguided.
I hated all of that.
I'm like, who does that?
Just get rid of it.
Where we rant, rave, and roll our eyes about a trending digital marketing topic.
What are we coming to?
Honestly.
See what had us asking.
WTH.
This week.
This week's WTH comes to you from PPC Greg at PPC Greg on Twitter. And he says, how's broad match going? Question mark. Just peachy. Peach emoji. And he had put in a very specific three-word term about cleaning something. No plumbing involved. And the broad match was butt cleaners. Butt cleaners. And I know, like, that's what broad match kind of does, but this query, like, had nothing to do with plumbing. Nothing to do with the body. It was about, like, cleaning a common thing that happens. And it matched to butt cleaners. So.
Who is searching for that? What do they want? And they want, like, a service? A bidet?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, a pipe cleaner.
I don't think you want that.
I don't, but I'm not. So I'm just wondering what this person was after, and they clicked.
It's a butt, not a pipe.
They're soft, though.
They're not soft. They have pointy metal on them. Jess, I'm worried about you. But anyway, yeah, this had nothing about plumbing, nothing about anus, and completely matched to butt cleaners there. So.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise. Okay, working hard for me. I recorded a Loom earlier today, and they're playing with a new AI element. It named my video, and it named it perfectly. It was very descriptive, which I loved. Hardly working, though. Microsoft scripts do not yet support querying PMax campaigns, FYI. So if you're doing any kind of like budget management with scripts, not going to apply to your PMax campaigns. Not yet, anyway. It took a while for Google to get it, so hopefully Microsoft will follow suit. But just be careful.
For me, hardly working is meta billing. So we had a client set up a meta account, put their credit card info in, and it started billing them in $2 increments. And it shut down the credit card because they thought it was fraud and he had to call and reactivate it. And the invoice history is like a geometric sequence. You remember doing that in like middle school where you're trying to find the pattern between a series of numbers? Because it started charging it like $2, $3, $3, $3.09, $3.09, $3.09, $4, $4.01, $4.01, $3. Like, I don't understand what's happening. We tried to raise the billing threshold and contact Meta support. They said they couldn't help.
What support?
Yeah.
That is
amazing. No. Apparently, other advertisers on Reddit said that they experienced this bug too. So it's not just us.
That's terrible. No wonder the credit card cut. That's like how you test when you steal somebody's info. Yeah. See if they're watching. Small increments like that. That's real bad.
All right. And for me, hardly working. I alluded to it before, but the AI in Google Ads, we were setting up a PMax campaign. The image example that they gave for a physical product was an infographic in rainbow color with literal lorem ipsum text.
Aww. All over it.
All over it. Mm-hmm. So they said that's they nice. Want to sell this product by having a template of an infographic with lorem ipsum in it. That was their solution. Mm-hmm. And then some of the headlines that they made, they said this company sells products that you could like fit in your pocket, like that small. The AI generated headline said something about purchasing vehicles in there.
Wow.
No clue. That's what we're going to get more of the GML.
Yeah.
It's not only, it takes so much more time mm-hmm. because everything is slower. Everything like breaks now. And it's mm-hmm. like, just let me type in my things. I need to use my images. I don't want lorem ipsum infographics to sell a product that's a real thing.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is for all you creators, not for the haters. Miss you, Shep. It's YT Scale, which is an AI tool for YouTubers. It'll help with keyword insights and generating search-friendly titles and descriptions for videos, give you tag ideas, write channel descriptions, do competitor research, and more. You can even use it to also publish your videos. So if you want to streamline your workflow, go for it. There is a monthly fee if you like it, but you can try it out for 3 videos for free. See if it is helpful to you. So again, that is YT Scale. And as always, we'll have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. It's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingaclock.com respectively. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC on X, and by her intern, Sylvia Guto. And I just like it when people call that, because usually people just ride their intern into the ground and don't give them any credit. But Lily said, my intern, Sylvia Guto, and I worked together on a new article compiling everything we know about Google's helpful content update and former ranking system. It is a doozy of an article over on amsiv.com. And they go on to talk about what they're seeing. And then there's even video. You can see Lily Ray analyzing what happened, how Google is incorporating the helpful content ranking system into the core ranking systems, what sites and categories had the biggest impact, which is always a great stuff. And then kind of looking ahead and what this means. So anytime there's a huge update, so Lily, I think, makes some of the best articles, and Glenn, obviously, out there too. But go check it out at amsiv.com. Thank you, Lily.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingaclock.com. What is going on the playlist this week, Jess?
I'm going with Wild Child by the Black Keys. Good vibes.
And I will be adding Ready or Not by the Fugees, Miss Lauryn Hill, Wyclef Jean, and Press.
And I need a little pick-me-up, and I found myself listening to My Own Worst Enemy by Lit. So I'm going to put that on. You need to pick me up when you're working.
That's awesome. All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
We can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingaclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingaclock.com to join.
All right, welcome to Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck. This week, we're playing everybody's favorite game.
Of course.
Trivia. And it's Jess versus Nicole. To ring in, you need to say your name. Many of these questions, you will be able to be closest to the pin.
Okay.
It's a disc golf term.
Oh, you know I love that.
Yeah. Okay. So and we have a theme here. We got a big event coming up here.
Super Bowl? Wait, no.
March. It's March Madness.
No. Right now?
We have something bigger. A total solar eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Coming right over us here. So we have some eclipse trivia here for everybody.
Okay.
So you can sound smart when the lights go out near you. Okay. This will be the first total solar eclipse in the continental U.S. in how many years?
4.
Jess.
Oh,
Jess.
Nicole.
No, Jess goes first.
25.
Okay.
Nicole. 4.
Nicole wins. 7 years was the last total solar eclipse. It occurred in August 21st, 2017, from Oregon to South Carolina.
That's a long way.
Okay, this is going to be, again, closest to the pin here. In the U.S., where will the first contact with the eclipse be? What location will get the eclipse first in the U.S.? I'll take state.
Jess.
Southern California.
Nicole.
That's
Maine.
Not a state. Maine. That's actually the last spot of the total eclipse.
It goes this way, right?
But I'm going to give it to you.
It's why I have to say.
Because California doesn't get the solar eclipse.
Oh.
That's okay. Why. So at least yours is somewhat accurate. The first town in the U.S. is Las Quintas Fronteras, Texas at 1:27 p.m. Central Time.
Okay.
This total solar eclipse, how long does the totality of the eclipse happen at its maximum spot?
Jess. 17 minutes.
Okay.
3 minutes, 51 seconds.
Okay, Nicole is up 3-0. It is 4 minutes and 28 seconds.
Wow.
That's not long. Guessed. This is such a big deal for that.
Well, total.
Okay.
Like, the
Let me get some more remarkable facts here. Okay. You already answered the one where the end of the eclipse is. Mm-hmm. It was Maine, so I kind of gave that away. Next question. Do my kids have off for school that day?
Jess.
Yes. That actually wasn't a real question.
It's true, though, right?
They have off school. Yeah. So.
That's cool.
Okay. Can you look at the sun during a total eclipse?
Nicole.
Define can.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it safe to look at, let me rephrase this. Yeah. Is it safe to look at the sun during a total eclipse?
I feel like this is still a trick question.
I know. I'm going to go with Jess.
Yes.
With appropriate glasses.
Without glasses. Just
Oh, then
just
no,
bare eyeballs.
You should never. No.
Okay.
I'm going to still say yes because you didn't say total solar eclipse.
It is the same thing as a total solar eclipse.
Oh, we just feel like
the answer is Nicole, according to astronomy.com. So go read astronomy.com before you look up at the sky. Hmm. It says totality, where there is no sun making it past the moon. Not all states are eligible for totality. Some have 16%. Like, I think we're close to about 100% here in Buffalo. According to astronomy.com, totality is safe to look at during the time the moon's disk covers that of the sun. And only then it's safe to look at the eclipse without a solar filter or eclipse glasses. In fact, to experience the awesomeness of the event, you must look at the sun without a filter during totality.
So for those 4 minutes and whatever seconds, take off your glasses.
Right. So I think people know, like, have that picture of, like, Donald Trump with no glasses pointing at the sun in, like, broad daylight. Like, that wasn't totality. Right, there's sun coming down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it appears, according to astronomy.com, if the full light of the sun is blocked off completely and it is dark for that few points of totality, not before, not after.
Mm-hmm. What is there even to see, though, then, if it's dark?
It's got to be so cool.
But you see
stars?
Nothing.
Do you see stars?
Yeah, like,
no,
what
you
do
don't
you
see? Stars? You just see, like, a big
dark.
Blurred,
you don't
blurred
see
out
anything.
Sun.
I don't understand. If you can see the sun, then you can see the sun. Yeah, if it's completely dark, then of course you can open your eyes. You might fall down the stairs.
It's 4-0, Nicole. Name one impact a total solar eclipse could have on nature.
Oh, Nicole.
Nicole.
Like animals start coming out. Nocturnal animals.
Okay.
I feel like it's got to do something with, like, volcanoes.
Okay. Nicole is close. It can have an impact on animals, though maybe the opposite, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe animals will come out on the street. According to astronomy.com, there could be a 10 degree Fahrenheit to 15 degree Fahrenheit mm-hmm. drop in temperature.
Oh, sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And also, usually a breeze will dissipate and birds will stop chirping.
That's cooler than looking at nothing. That's
okay. Like, animal related. Nicole's up 5-0. Jess, you can make a comeback here on the next two questions.
Can I? I'm sure I won't.
Okay. This is not the maximum totality of the total eclipse that you can have. The highest amounts are around, like, 7 minutes, the longest being 7 minutes and 32 minutes from a total solar eclipse. The next solar eclipse with totality approaching 7 minutes will occur in how many years from now? When do we, we're again, 4 minutes, 32 seconds. When, if we want to see the big one, 7 minutes, what, how many years is that from now?
Anywhere in the world. Like we're not anywhere restricting to the US.
This
here.
Is world.
Okay. Jess.
Jess.
84 years.
256 years.
Jess gets it. 108 yeah. years.
All right. Okay.
It will happen in June 13th, 2132.
I'll see you then.
And it will be 6 minutes and 55 seconds long. Okay. When is the next U.S. total solar eclipse? How many years?
Jess.
Jess.
Another seven?
Okay.
Five.
Okay. Game theory, a little weak there. 20 years.
Yeah, I win.
All right. 5-2. And I also asked this question to my kids. They always like want to determine who showers first. And I was asking like science trivia.
That's adorable.
I got this on the nose. So I want to see how close you get. How long does it take from light from the sun to reach the earth?
Jess.
Jess.
7 minutes.
Nicole, do you have an answer?
6 minutes.
Okay.
I'm scared.
8 minutes. So Jess is about 8
They
minutes.
Got it on the nose, though? So they knew that?
Yeah, it's at 8 minutes.
That's a cool fact.
So they read some solar eclipse book. I'm like, I just read that book. I'm like, all right, fine.
Okay.
Well, Nicole, you are the winner 5-2. And enjoy your... What do you do? Anybody got plans for the eclipse?
I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to miss it.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It was $1,000 more to shorten my trip and get back in time. For my
do you know that there are people paying that amount of money to come here to Buffalo?
I know, and I'm so happy not to be dealing with any of them.
That is the most Jess Bud thing I've ever heard.
I didn't do it on purpose, but it just worked out that way.
All right. Anything? Any plans?
I don't know. I might step outside with glasses.
Yeah.
Well, in the totality, you know, read astronomy.com on your own.
If you step outside and the birds stop chirping and there's a breeze, that'll you'll feel like a vampire. It'll be awesome. You should do it.
All right. We see you next week. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.